a day to put ourselves in front of God and really hear what He's trying to say to us. It's so grateful that we can be here, and every time when I sit in the front of the row and look up to the screen and look at the Word and hear the worship team to sing the song, I always be touched. The first song says, "So will I." And last song says, "It's all about worship." God looking deeper, right? Just a song we are singing. It looks deeper into our heart. So today's sermon is also regarding about your heart, our heart, how we are living, how we are really doing. Today's topic, right, is a little bit interesting. Finally, I nail it down to be the spiritual restoration. Spiritual restoration. It's not easy to preach this particular scripture because it's simple, but the meaning behind that, right, have so many dimensions. Somehow I picked some of them and try to be here to share with you, also as a testimony in front of God. How should we behave? Purposing in love is the topic, angle, that I would like to focus on. Because during the living, sometimes we will be lost. We don't know why we are here. We don't know why we are doing that. Sometimes we just look within ourselves. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't realize that. So going that, in the last sermon I asked, why are you here? Today I'm going to asking you to ask yourself, why am I here? There could be a lot of reason. You can fill the blank. Maybe some of them are really private. Some of them really is divided and related, but it doesn't matter. Let's just be honest to ask ourselves, why am I here? If you're going to, right, to the internet, if you search, if I ask you, in your opinion, what is the most common thing you were lost from time to time? What's your top one in your list? Everybody got an opinion, right? Somehow they say socks. And let's keep going on. Lip balm, nail clipper, but we don't care, right? We just buy another pair. We just say, hey, can I borrow yours? It's not a big deal. Then we'll keep going on the list. Sunglasses, wow, this will be tough. From time to time, I lost one pair, right? In the restaurant, on the table. So generally, when I buy the sunglasses, I buy a bundle, at least three. Same kind. Put one in each car. But somehow I still missing one because I also have a couple cars, right? Anyway, next will be really tough if you lost your cell phone. That will be disaster, right? If you lost your credit card, it will be a disaster as well. Well, I guess we all have that bad experience. But the last one is really catch my eye. It say, our dignity. Wow, this is a strong word, dignity. But anyway, let's regroup again. Lost in whatever. Were you ever lost in any of this? Education? Relationship? Even in your work? Or in the society you are in? Doesn't matter what it is. Have you ever feel lost? Are we going? Keep going now. Sin, righteousness. It's opposite, right? Sometimes you feel so bad, but compared with others, you feel so good. Have you ever had that sense of the diversity in your heart? A loss in the living. You don't know what's going on. Doesn't matter. Life seems like pointless. You don't even want to wake up from the bed. Life is just, don't know what to say. And sometimes it goes stronger. It goes deeper. You're eating you out. If you're in anger mode, jealousy mode, agony mode, or in a sorrow mode, that's what eating you out. The longer you stay there, right? The longer depressive you become. Unfortunately, it will lead to these three. You feel the sense of a rejection. You fall into the darkness of the depression. And sometimes you will feel really desperation. Are you ever in this darkness mode? How will it come out with you? That's exactly the aim we're going to talk about. How can the loss be restored? People say, easy. To be fun, right? Or just come to your own sense. Find a way out. But what happened, right? If you are really out of yourself, what if it's not that easy to be fun? What if the sense don't occur to you anymore? Or maybe you feel there's no way out. Please turn to the Bible. We're going to talk about this in the Luke chapter 15. It's a very familiar chapter. Everybody know there's a three parable, and one of them we keep performing from time to time. It's all about lost and found. So today we're going to take particular seven verses and focus on it and derive it out what the lesson we can learn. So it starts with the sin is a tax collector and the sinner are gathering around the Jesus Christ, try to hear what he wants to say. But there are people, Pharisees, and the teacher of law, they muttering. They say, this man, welcome, sinner, and even eat with them. Then came with the response from Jesus. He told this parable. Suppose of you has a hungry sheep and lose one of them. Don't you leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he find the one. And when he find it, he will carry it on his shoulder and go home. Go home to what? Go home to our battery. it drained, right? Energy very quick. Yeah. And go home and celebrate. Right? Call the neighbor and celebrate that this is a sheep that lost and now is found. And moreover, right, it talk about this is more in the heaven. They are more rejoicing when they find a sinner who repent than those 99 to the righteous one do not need to repent. Very simple parable, right? Story. What's a big deal? We knew it in our heart. You are lost. Who owns you? Go find you. That's simple. Then let's have a feast. Let's see. We'll look at it from the four different aspects. Number one is receiving and resisting. And we close it with rebinding and rejoicing. We'll start with receiving. Very easy. If we went through the last sermon and couple sermon, it's all talk about feast. Join the service, right? Join the meal with Jesus Christ. But he also talking about lots of tough stuff, discipleship. So he's mingled this right now. All the people coming close to him. And that's the conflict. Cooking up. So tax collector and a sinner represent one of the group. They're really attached, right, to the power of the Jesus Christ and the word he tried to preach it. It's different. It makes a life change. And Jesus welcomed them. Welcomed them. And eat with them. Want to have the fellowship with them. And the tax collector is not the tax collector nowadays. At that time, they are different because they are ruled by a foreigner, the Roman Empire. So tax collectors are collecting the money they have to contribute to the dominator. So they are considered as a traitor at that time. And sometimes they make a very big gain out of that. Because it's kind of like everybody say, this year I want a $10,000. As long as you gain me the $10,000, I don't care how much you really collected. So it becomes very profitable for tax collector. Because nobody knows what's the ratio. And that's why people hate it so much. They are working for the enemy. And the sinner at that time, it don't have to be moral offender. It could be the people who really not follow the law described by Moses and also the heritage custom coming from the Jewish people. They are not really doing what they supposed to say, whatever the society want them to perform. So generally, they are the outcaster. So there is a contrast. Outcast, sinner, against Eli. The group that know the Bible, like us. But Jesus, right, used the three particular examples to talk about this. He used a sheep, used a coin, used a rebellious son, the squander, and compared with his older son, who is righteous, to tell a story about receiving, welcoming, grouping, then come with a resisting. The keeper of law, the guardian supposed to defend what God has said, They say, no, Jesus, you did this wrong. You should not do it. Muttering is not like, no. Muttering is sound like you say something. You say. But you say maybe like say, Jesus, you should not do it. And Jesus is there. Or you say, Jesus should not do it. We are here. Why are they doing it? Does it make sense? Thinking about that, your loved one hanging out with a sinner, with an outcaster, with a loser, with an addiction people, and not only hang out with them, welcome them home, and eat up all the meal, right, you are going to prepare for the church. What will you feel? Will you say, no, don't do that. Don't you ever do that again. Don't you know the darkness and the lighting person should not be grouped together? Shouldn't you know how to divide right with wrong? That's a church teaching. Don't mess up. Stay in the right side. Don't group with the wrong people. So are we the Pharisee? Are we the teacher of law? Are we bound to defend the Jesus, right, with all our heart? We're going to stand in there, all your sinner out of church, out of the ever territory God sent me in. Is that what we're required to do? Is it? But that's what they are doing. Right? Society with a division. Even in the Gospel of Luke, there are four groups of the people. Jesus wants everybody to be the disciples, but there is getting people every step, every word what Jesus said. And there are crowd in need in every aspect, spiritually, real life, health problem, also the problem, even the demon possessed. That's the crowd. And now there's an even worse people. They are outcast from the society. They are sinners. All right, which group are we in? Are we the disciple? Are we really like the last chapter we say, if you don't love God more than those your loved one, you are not worthy to be the disciple. Are you really listening to the God saying that you are willing to deny yourself, carry the cross and follow him with it, and you count every single cost? That's a disciple. Are you? Are we? Maybe not. Okay, that's downgrade. Or we know all about the scripture and we vow to uphold them. Every single one of the tenths we dedicate to the law for proclaim his kingdom and my life, my time, right? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I not only just love God himself, I love all the neighbor he brought to me. That's the law. Are we uphold in that way? Or we are the crowd. We are simple, just the crowd. We are in need all the time. We come to Jesus, right, when we have the problem. Or we just in the other way. We are the same. So this is Luke. Keep going on, right? Jesus deal with each group. Almost, right? In sequence, in turn, or combinedly. But that's how Jesus, right, keep doing this. Reminded. Now, key is which group. It's not the which group you are in or we are in. The key is rebinding. When we were lost, do you know? You are lost. When you are in the corner, right? Cannot hear about the song from God. Or you know you are in isolation. It doesn't mean you don't have activity. It doesn't mean you just stand there and still. No. You're still living. You're still working. You're still fighting. You're still going. You are alive, in a way, physically. But maybe spiritually, you already lost. You don't know that. Are you? But this is the beauty of this parable. God will go after you. God will go after you. He will find you and he'll carry you back to the right track. Do you believe this? Have you ever experienced this? Have you? Through this parable, God told me one thing. I was that sheep. I was a lost one. I've been lost for a long time. One day in this particular century, in the back, there's a preacher preaching that if you really want to recommit yourself to God, no matter what you did, you raised your right hand and vowed to him. I did. I not just only raised my right hand, I also raised my left hand. Because I say to the God, I am that sheep that lost. I am the sheep in the darkness. With your grace, I'm here. With your grace, I'm here to vow myself to you again. That's a lost sheep. It was not easy. That was almost 11 years ago. It takes time, but God will find you out. Do you believe that? Reckless Love, the most popular song released on the January this year. When I first hear about this song, right, it just touched me, just struck me right into my heart. So hard. It written, released by a worship pastor. Joaquin in Mexico right now. And there's a commentary, right, about the song release. He say, it's really a wholehearted song, telling an essential story based on the scripture. It tells about Father's desire, right? For the connection with the one he made, he know, and with the reckless love, relentless love. That's our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who created the whole heaven and the earth. We sing, but do you know how great it really is? Have you ever really pondered about that? The whole universal creator, right, coming and really hunting for your love. How honored it could be, but we don't. We don't. We forget about that. We just live our way out. We do all the things based on our past experience. Or maybe just a passion. This is the pastor and his son. And in the interview, he said, I really don't know about this love. Here I become the father of my son. I got two sons. I pray for them daily. One really communicate with me. One communicate with me in silence. But we communicate, right? Because they trust in me. If they ever request anything, I will say yes. I'm the father, the spoil, the child. That's exactly a quote from my daughter. Exactly a quote from my wife. Why? Because I feel loved. I don't know whether it's right or wrong to spoil the kids. No, I know it's wrong. But somehow, I don't have a lot of time to talk to them nowadays. Ever since I vowed that vow, God really cashed it in. In my day, I really count in by the minutes how to serve the Lord, how to fight against my evil self. But the song, right, really give me a different dimension. If you know the lyric, it keep going back. He say, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He said, fighting till I'm found, live the 99. So in my view, right, this parable is for me. God don't care about you. God care about me. Because I was that lost one, not you. You were here to worship the God all the time. I was in the jungle, in the wilderness. I'm in the darkness. I was, or maybe I'm in right now. But that's the power of love. Power of love that pushed God to search us. I cannot earn that. I don't even deserve it. Because God gave it away, right, just for this. It just keep going. And the word just pop in my, coming after me, coming after me, coming after me. That's a song, that's the lyric, right? You should go back, right, and reread that. It really captures, right, the spirit of this parable. That's God's heart. But you don't care. But were you rejoicing? Were you rejoicing that other people being found? Not you, other people being found. Those lost ones, those losers. Were you happy with God, with all the people, they being found? Like this? Happy? Cheerful? Like this, in the heaven, with the wing, right? Flying all over. Hallelujah. Will you? Will you share that? Let's conclude. Is that possible? The lost one don't want to be restored. Is it possible? Is it possible that the lost one don't even know or want to admit he or she is lost and need help? Well, I've been there for 10 years, trust me. And we go to analyze why this could happen. Because there's a two category. One is self. The other focus on the helper. Self is a very dangerous thing.
helper,
sometimes even dangerous. Worse. Why? Because sometimes helper doing the wrong way, right? Instead of help, the people need help. They bring up their self. Yeah, so many times I try to help my kids, and they say that, no, I don't need your help. So many times I try to teach them the right way. They say, no, you're out of date. You don't know what we are experiencing. Who am I here to lecture all of you when in my life I have my struggle? Who am I? Who am I standing here, right, with all the accent? You probably cannot tell what am I talking about. Don't look at me. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. I'm just a humble servant here, being touched by God and try to proclaim His word. If you cannot see that, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry for myself and for you and for God. But I think God's glory, right, will be our hope. I think He will find you out. Because that's exactly how He found me. Purpose. The life is not merely in the lost. God has a bigger plan for you and I. Regardless of what age you are, if you have a serving heart, God's really cooking something within you. We live in a way. We walk in a way. We serve in a way. We're going to keep pushing the boundary of the kingdom of God. While we're standing there without any song, we're still going to radiate the beauty of God. That's how we've been called. That's how we should behave. Lost. Big deal. Receiving, resisting, rebinding, and rejoicing. It's all about Jesus, just the song we sing today. It's all about Jesus, not about us. If it's about you, you are in the wrong place today. But when going out, it's all about you, because you are God's representative. When you are a student, you should be the good student. When you are a teacher, you will be the best teacher. When you are the parent, you will be the best parent. Because that's God assigned us to do. Allow us to do. Don't be lost. Nothing to be ashamed. So why am I here? Very simple. Deliver a message. God, touch me. God told me, do you know you are the lost sheep? Do you want it to be fun? Do you want to be not be in the lost again? Were you willing to help to find the lost? Will you rejoice all those lost being found? That's God's message. Don't be the blocker. Like the Pharisee and the teacher of law. Let's bow our head and pray.
Dear Father in heaven, I feel so ashamed, so far short of your glory. But I do know one thing. You will come after me. You will come after me. And after I've been restored, you will help me and allow me to go after those lost ones and bring them back, restore them back to your kingdom by the grace and the love you show to me. May all those lost ones know how bad they are. May those lost ones know how they need your help. May those lost ones can really be found by you. May your name be praised. May your name be exalted. May the kingdom of the glory will be shine forever and evermore. May we are the recovery one. May we are the gracious one. Solidly in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.